Yo. Thanks for listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Upgrade to a new Chevrolet with new safety and technology features, lower maintenance for the same or better payment, only at Lakewood Chev. Click on the icon right here on the website. Joe Haggerty from Comcast in Boston joins us. Joe, Brad Marchand, man, the guy's had an incredible season. He's been lighting it up at the World Cup. He was lighting it up for the Boston Bruins, and then he still has the other side of him where he slew-foots guys and then spears guys right in the nuts and sits out for two games. What do you make of Brad Marchand? It's kind of a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde. Do you think he can ever control that snap side of him?
Yeah, he'll be lighting it up on his couch, eating potato chips, watching the next two games because of another act of misbehavior from him. Look, this is the eighth time he's been suspended or fined in his eight-year NHL career. It's far too much. He's too good a player to still be doing that stuff. He's just lucky a couple things didn't happen. He's lucky that, A, it wasn't more of a suspension where it carried over into the playoffs, and, B, that the Bruins ended up pulling it together and winning that game against Tampa when it was 0-0, when he got the game misconduct in the five-minute major and got tossed from the game for taking a stick to the nuggets of another player in front of the net. So, he's got to smarten up, and it was a selfish move. He was hurting himself. Now he can't get the 40 goals, which I think he really wanted to try to get to before the season was out. And, the team still has stuff to play for, potential home ice and, trying to get into, stay in the Atlantic Division bracket so they're not a wild card team and they don't have to have that first round death sentence against the Washington Capitals. So, on a lot of different levels, he cost his team pretty severely with this one. And he's made some mistakes like that in the past in big moments with misbehavior, dirty plays, cheap shots like this. And, it's getting to a point now where he's come so far and he's such an elite level in the league, he simply doesn't need this crap anymore in his game.
The thing is, Joe, and we've all seen this, he's a terrific player without that stuff. And you like the edge, sure, but these are step-over-the-line things. And at some point, I mean, you got a guy in town who played a pretty tough game and scored 50 goals a year there in Cam Neely. I don't know if this has happened yet, but it seems it should have. Somebody's got to pull Marchand aside and say, look, this can't continue, and we're not kidding even a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. And look, this is, let's say Marchand's out these two games and they lose and fail to get home ice in games where if they'd won, they could have gained it. And now you're talking about costing your ownership group mm-hmm. a home ice date in the playoffs, which they clear well over $1 million, probably between $1 and $2 million, for home playoff dates. And, that's when you're starting to cost your organization quite a bit of money, above and beyond just the misbehavior on the ice, the reputation, the different things there. That's the bottom line that all professional sports and all businesses, for that matter, pay attention to. And I don't doubt that Cam Neely is going to talk to him. I'm sure Cam Neely talked to him last year when he was suspended and couldn't play in the Winter Classic. And, this is a pattern over the last few years where in big moments, I think he gets just too amped up and these kind of things have happened. But I think that conversation has already happened before and he continues to do this stuff. So it's a recurring conversation and something you're going to have to continue with him. And, it's part of the package with him as a player. You would just hope at some point when he's costing himself and costing the team with these selfish moves, he would stop doing it at some point, but that certainly hasn't happened to this point, and you may never completely be able to stamp it out of his game.
Joe Haggerty from Comcast in Boston, longtime beat reporter for the Bruins, joins us. Bruins have clinched a playoff spot, but they are in a dogfight with Ottawa and Toronto. And really, the dogfight is also home advantage, ice advantage. But I think what's more important, Joe, is to avoid the Washington Capitals in the first round. Because Ottawa, Boston, and Toronto, I don't see either one of them having much of a fighting chance against the Caps.
No, and the Bruins, for about 5 years now, have not been able to beat the Washington Capitals at all. I mean, that is just the worst of bad matchups for them. That they're bigger, they're stronger, they're deeper, they're more skilled. Brayden Holtby has had their number. I think at one point he had three shutouts in a row against the Bruins. You're talking about complete one-sided dominance by one team over the other over a long extended period of time. So, you know, if they were to match up with the Capitals in the first round, I think they know it would be a quick four-game, maybe five, but I don't even think so, series, five-game series against the Capitals. It would be over fast. So I think it would be much more competitive, obviously, for them against either Ottawa or Toronto. They have not beaten either one of those teams this year during the regular season. So, you know, any of these matchups will be some level of challenge for the Bruins. But there have been much more competitive games between the Senators and the Leafs, especially the last game against each that the Bruins played back-to-back a few weeks ago. I think that gave them some confidence they could have success against those teams and showed they could play with them. Certainly, it would be a much more competitive series than against Washington, which they want to avoid at all costs.
Joe, without Marchand in the lineup, what is that top six going to look like against the Sens?
Yeah, it's a good question. Bruce Cassidy did not want to talk about it this morning, so I'm not exactly sure. Their guys are banged up. Their extra forwards, Jimmy Hayes, Frank Vetrano, and Tim Schaller are all banged up and coming off injury. The one wild card here is Jakob's first backer, Carlson, the 20-year-old kid from Boston University that they just signed, who's been practicing with the team, but they've been having issues with his work visa and going from a student visa at Boston University to a work visa to play in the NHL. So they're having issues with immigration, trying to get that through. So he had not been able to play up until this point. There's some question if he might be the guy tonight, if that stuff is cleared this afternoon. I have not gotten any word that that has changed, but it may have, and he may end up making his NHL debut tonight. You know, people compare him to Patrice Bergeron, a good two-way center, a guy that can also play wing. So potentially maybe you put him right next to Bergeron and see what he can do. But above and beyond that, I think it's anybody's guess right now who they're going to put in there to replace Marchand, because I don't think they have a ton of options.
Joe Haggerty joins us. Now, Joe, looking at Ottawa and Toronto, the Bruins have the tiebreaker for sure, so all they have to do is finish tied with them or ahead of them. Those two teams each have a game in hand. The Bruins have two left. If they find a way to finish second or third, who would they rather face, Ottawa or Toronto, and why?
I think they would rather face Toronto because I think they feel like their experience in the playoffs, they still have, you know, four, five, six players from the Stanley Cup teams and from the teams that went to the finals in those 2 years, 2011, 2013, that, you know, that's something they may be able to draw upon against a young team like the Toronto Maple Leafs without a lot of playoff experience. I think they probably would find more success in a little bit more of a wide-open game against them that Toronto would want to play, although Toronto has tightened down under Babcock recently, for sure. But they have had a lot of trouble against Ottawa, getting through the Guy Boucher trap, generating offense, generating speed in the neutral zone, not getting allowing themselves to get frustrated. They've played right into Guy Boucher's his evil plan to squeeze the life out of the entertainment value in the NHL with his trap. They've played right into it, and it has not been a good matchup for them. You know, Erik Karlsson, he's not going to play tonight, so that may help them, but he's a game changer if he's healthy in that series. So, you know, either one of them I think they feel good about, but if they're going to pick one over the other, I think they'd go for the offense and the fast pace and the transition of Toronto and trying to shut that down rather than trying to fight their way through the neutral zone sludge that is the Ottawa Senators.
And the other thing, Joe, you look at Toronto, you know, experience plays into things. It's not everything, but it does play in. Toronto's best players are young players without that National Hockey League level playoff experience. Does that play into it as well for you?
No, yeah, no doubt. And I think that's where the experience that the Bruins have would be a distinct advantage and strength over the Toronto Maple Leafs and, you know, so many talented kids, but I think they're going to be a little wide-eyed and totally understandably why when they get into the playoffs for the first time. And, you know, some of those players, I'm thinking of a guy like Mitch Marner in particular, who I know is fairly feisty for his size, but, you know, he's going to get pounded in his first NHL playoff experience. And I think it may be a little bit of an eye-opening experience for them, how physical and how nasty it can get. And it's going to be hard for them to try to fight for their ice. And then we'll probably see it on the Boston side, too, with a guy like David Pastrnak in his first playoff experience as well. But I think, you know, having guys like Patrice Bergeron, David Krejci, Zdeno Chara, Brad Marchand. I think that's going to play into their advantage that they've got so much playoff experience against a team that's up and coming rather than having been there before.
Quickly, before I let you go, Joe, because we know it's official, Pittsburgh's taking Columbus. Who are you taking in that series?
Oh, without Chris Letang, I'm still going to go with Pittsburgh because I think they have enough to get by Columbus. And that Columbus, for my money, it feels like a team that has a really good regular season, gets into the playoffs, and you know, kind of craps out once they get into the postseason. I'm sure it'll be a pretty good series, and it'll be competitive, but I think Pittsburgh can get by them.
Joe, as always, great stuff, man, and we'll be talking throughout the playoffs. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Take care.